Shalom to all my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's good to see you this morning. Right? If you're doing well this morning, give me a thumbs up. Right? All right. Yeah. And those who are watching online too. Yeah. Shalom to you. Time flies, right? Christmas season is here again. Yeah. I wonder what's your plan for this year Christmas. I'm wondering how many of us are going for overseas holiday. You have planned an overseas holiday. Is there anyone here or you're too shy to put up your hands? Or how many of us you have plans to spend time with your family for this Christmas? Put up your hands, you have some plans. Very good, right? How many of us, all right, you're going to stay in Singapore, okay? You know, during these seasons of holiday. All right, if you are a person, put up your hands, can I see? All right, so looks like many of us are going to stay in Singapore and spend our time for our Christmas. You know, even though we cannot go overseas, we can still make our Christmas, meaningful this year for the Lord. Amen? Yeah, amen? Yeah. So I have a friend who took 1 month leave, all right, to spend his holiday right now at Spain, you know. So I was texting him and he was telling me, actually I'm in Spain right now. He took the 1 month leave. So when I saw that text, Hokkien, they say, 老脆暖哦. Yeah, envy. Oh, I got so many days, to spend overseas, yeah. But I believe that even we cannot go overseas, we can still make our Christmas here in Singapore meaningful, right? Because it's about our Lord Jesus Christ, yeah. I think many of us know that Christmas is known as Advent season. During the Lent season, we fast and we remember that it was our sins that put Christ on the cross. But on Christmas, we celebrate the goodness of God. Amen? And the anticipation of Christ's return. Last week, Senior Pastor talked to us about the second return of Jesus Christ. And I thought he gave a very, very good message, yeah? But he's not here with us this morning because he was in St. Peter's Church. A new vicar will be installed today. So he'll be there to assist the bishops. Yeah. So we have a season to fast. And we also have a season for celebration. But it's very tempting to allow our present situation to kill our passion for celebration this year. Or to kill our mood, all right, to celebrate our Christmas this year. I'm not saying, we should ignore people who are suffering. Rather, I'm urging you and I'm encouraging you that we celebrate because we believe in the midst of darkness, there's light. Amen? We celebrate because we believe that there's hope for the hopeless. Now, we know that this year we won't be any much different as last year. We still can't really have big group celebration for Christmas. But this does not mean we should abandon our spirit of Christmas celebration. It does not mean we should prepare less to celebrate. In fact, because of the present situation, I'm asking us, the more we should encourage one another to celebrate our Christmas. The more we should stir one another to look forward for this Christmas celebration so that our eyes, our focus is not on the present situation, but on who our God is. So during this season, we don't want to spend too much time to look at what is going around in the world and all the bad news we're receiving every day. I'm saying to us, I'm encouraging you, this time we should fix our eyes on who our God is. Let's make this Christmas a wonderful celebration for all of us. Let me this Christmas, all right, a meaningful celebration for every one of us. In fact, even Jesus celebrated communion in the upper room just the day before his crucifixion. And I like the theme for this year Christmas lights up at Orchard Road. The focus is on hope. Basically saying, despite the challenges we face today, we have much to be thankful for. We have much to look forward to. There's hope in God. David Russell Mosley, is a theologian, says that, share in whatever way you can the spirit of Christian feasting with others. Some of us may argue, right, 25th December is not the actual day of the birth of Jesus, which is true. All right, which is true. Nobody knows the actual day of the birth of Jesus. It is around probably mid-4th century, the birthday of Christ, 25th of December, that was fixed around that period of time. So nobody knows for sure when Jesus was, the date, the exact date, and nobody also very sure why it's on December 25th. But the event is real. The event is true. It happened when Caesar Augustus is the emperor of Rome. And so let's look at Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 7. Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 7, it says that in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. So the purpose of this order, the purpose of this decree is to collect tax, right, basically, or it's for tax collection. And in those days, everything has to be done manually. So unlike our present day, where we can pay our tax via electronic payment mode. So today is much more convenient compared to the day during the Bible's time. So in those days, to collect tax, all right, everything has to be done manually. So one of a good example we can think of is Matthew, right? Matthew was one of the example that we know in the Bible, or what before he followed Christ, one of his jobs, all right, is to assist the Rome to collect tax. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to a firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no place for them in the inn. So Caesar Augustus is probably one of the most successful emperors in Rome during that time. He put an end to war. There was a lot of war, but under his leadership, he put an end to war. He unites the people, and he brought peace and prosperity. Although the benefits, right, go to his own people. That means his own people actually benefited the most. He is not a believer, but he has a significant role to play in fulfilling God's plan. How? He built roads, he built connection, and make travel easier. So this helped in the spread of Christianity later on. And also he sent a decree, but what he did not know, that God is using him to fulfill his promise that made through Prophet Michael in chapter 5, verse 2, 600 years long before he was born. And this was what written in Michael chapter 2, chapter 5, verse 2, says that, "But you, O Bethlehem, Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who's to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days." So, in the eyes of the emperor is to collect the tax, but in the eyes of God, God is using him to fulfill his promise to his people and to us, that a king is to be born in Bethlehem. You know, men can plan what they want to do, but it is the Lord who guides their steps. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. Sometimes we have, like bosses or someone above us who has the power to dictate us what to do, right? Sometimes we have experienced kind like that you know, that it's not your choice, it's not your request, but because you're working for someone and the person has some sort of power over you to dictate you to do what something that you are, that you expected. But the encouragement for us this morning is that though they have the power to dictate you, to ask you to do things that is probably not your desire, but always remember, they have no power to change what God has planned for you. What God has promised you, what God has promised us, right? The power, they will not compromise All right, what God has prepared for you and me. So Joseph wanted to settle down with Mary at Nazareth, probably till Jesus is born. Probably that was the plan for Joseph, right? But the order from the emperor disrupted his plan. The decrees that set by the Augustus brings a lot of inconveniences for both Joseph and Mary. First of all, they had to travel all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And probably will take them about 4 days, 3 to 5 days, probably around there. So just imagine, all right, just a simple order from the top. Now, because of this order, not just he has to move, he has to move with his wife, and not just the two of them, but with the barang-barang, the luggages. And remember those days, the luggage is no wheel. So they have probably got to carry the luggage. So you can imagine how inconvenient it's for them, all right? Just because an order from the top. And Bethlehem, all right, and to the place where from where they want to go, it's not an easy journey for them as well. Because walking in the wilderness can be dangerous. You never know when you will meet a robber. You never know when, you know, the conditions they are in. And more importantly, remember, Mary is in her late pregnancy. So it's definitely, I want to put you in the picture, it wasn't that simple when the king say, I need to come back to, basically what I'm trying to say is that, you know, it's not that simple, you know, when a king give an order, you know, and then Joseph just cross over. I just want to give us a picture of what actually Joseph has to go through. It was not an easy journey for them. But this is not the only unexpected event for Joseph. Because marriage in the earlier day is not so straightforward. Like our present day where young couple fall in love and then after they go ROM and then they move into their HDB flat. In Bible's time, most Jewish marriage were arranged by parents of the bride and groom and sometimes even without consulting the couples to be married. Then after that, they will draft a contract prepared by the groom's parents. And once a contract is signed, it is the Jewish custom they consider as husband and wife, even though they have not yet stayed together, have not yet been consummated. So it is supposed to be a joyful occasion. It's supposed to be a happy occasion. It's supposed to be an occasion to be blessed by the community, to be blessed by the relatives. And then now, Mary is pregnant. One day, Mary go to Joseph and then say, I am pregnant. Because one day, an angel appeared to Mary and told her she will have a child. Can you imagine how, you know, struggle Joseph will be going through? Can you imagine what was in his mind? You know, and I can imagine Joseph going to say, what am I going to do? Right? What am I going to do? And can I really trust Mary? The baby inside her is really from the Holy Spirit. Because the angel has not spoken to him yet. And this is not something he prayed for. This is not something he asked for. And more importantly, he also know or understand that this is a very serious matter. Especially in his culture. You know, for a girl who is pregnant with another man in his culture could be stoned to death. So he could know the seriousness of that. Basically, Mary's future, Mary's life is on his hand and decision. But somehow, Joseph chose to trust her. Now, we do not know a lot about Joseph. Very little say of him. But we do know he is a carpenter, a righteous Jewish man who loved Mary more than himself because he chose to protect Mary's dignity over legalism. And he's doing it by choosing not to expose her to public this grace. And we know this in Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. Matthew says that, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So, I believe Joseph must have a hard time to stay. I wonder how many of us you can identify with Joseph. Sometimes you are put in the position, you have to make very important decision, and your decision could impact someone's life. Your decision could change something. You're put in that position. And sometimes, because you're in the position, you find very hard to sleep at night. You turn left, turn right, you pray and ask God for wisdom. What should I do? What is the best thing to do? I'm sure some of us, or many of us, has gone through something like that. I haven't gone through something like that. You know, the decision has to be made, and I couldn't sleep at night. And so I had to pray and ask God, what am I supposed to do? And I'm sure Joseph was going through something like that. What am I supposed to do? God, can you please tell me what I'm supposed to do? So while he was, you know, struggling with this unexpected event, the same angel that appears to Mary appears to him and said not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife, even though she is pregnant. And Joseph believed. By faith, he obeys. And then after the birth of Jesus, right, when he thought that he could settle down, now, all right, right, you know, everything seems to be good. Now maybe I start to think how to be a good husband. Now maybe I should start to think how to be a good father. While he was thinking about that, an angel from the Lord came to Jesus in the dream again. And this time, he says to him, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child and to destroy him, in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. So while he was thinking, okay, things are going to settle down, another dream saying to him, you better tell. You better flee now. Why? Because the emperor has given an order to search for this child and to kill him. Now, how would you feel as a father? Kanchong, right? So they flee. And they became a refuge in Egypt. And I think God knows all this thing ahead of Joseph. Even though in the eyes of Joseph, it seems like it's an unexpected event. It seems to him, you know, it's like something that he's not expected to happen, but not in the eyes of God. Somehow God, or I wouldn't say somehow, God already knew that this is going to happen. And how God helped Joseph to flee to Egypt is by providing the wise man or the Magi to visit them and to provide financial support, because they bring gifts, right? They bring myrrh, they bring a lot of herbs. And somehow God knew this is to happen, and therefore he sent the wise man ahead to prepare their needs, their support and financial need. And, you know, this is the Christmas Joseph was actually going through. A lot of unexpected things happened to him, one after another. There was joy, but also stress and conflict at the same time. So it's very unlike the picture we saw on the screen. It's very unlike the picture we saw in the shopping mall where, all right, you know, it's calm, it's peaceful, you know, it's stable. But what Joseph has gone through, his first Christmas wasn't so calm and so peaceful. It was probably very much like what we are going through today. You know, last year we have COVID-19, and then after that, it say now we have Delta variants. And then today we heard that there's Omicron variant is coming up. Then maybe tomorrow we have Megatron, if you watched it. And then end time, we have Ultron, right? Last year, my wife and I were supposed to go to Japan for holiday. So we planned this much, much way ahead. Actually, not last year, the year before last year. So everything was well planned, we paid, and really looking forward for holiday in Japan. Especially, this was our first time to Japan. And, you know, it's a season of the sakura, right, inhua. So we were very excited because we've never seen that before. So we were very excited and looking forward, and it's like our couple time, all right? Every year we will take time as a couple to go out, you know, whether it's for holiday or staycation, you know, just to spend time together. So we were looking forward for this holiday. And then who knows? Just about to go, this COVID happened, lockdown. And so our trip to Japan was gone. It was unexpected. Were we disappointed? Yeah, we were disappointed, right? Because you plan already. You pay already. Thank God you can refund most of our you know, money back. But imagine you plan already. You're looking forward, and then this thing happened. Did we plan for it? We didn't. But it happened. You know, so there are always some things in life that are so unexpected that we are not prepared for them. Isn't that true? There are always something in life that are so unexpected that we are not prepared for them. But God never leave Joseph on his own. Do you realize that? God never leave Joseph to figure out what to do on his own. He always has a plan prepared for him. So I encourage us this morning that I don't know where you are today, but I want us to know that every unexpected turn that you're facing today, God has a plan and purpose for you. But how do we see His plan in the situation? How do we see God's hand is working in that situation? It's like how Joseph received the instruction from the Lord and know what to do. How do we see that and experience God's plan, His hand that's moving in our situation? And first of all, expect God to lead. If you want to see God's hand, His plan in your life, expect God to lead. You need to believe that God does have a plan and a purpose for you. It must begin with that. It must begin that you believe that God wants to lead me. That you believe that God wants to help me. That you believe that God has a plan for me. It has to begin with that, by believing that God is interested in leading you and He wants to lead you. When He says, I have a good plan for you, and my plan is to give you hope and a good future, God really means it. He really means what He said. And the only things that God requires of you is that you to believe Him, that He really wants to lead you. So expect God to lead. Secondly, don't assume that bad things will lead to bad outcome. It's so easy for us when we are in that situation, it's so easy for us to immediately to think that, you know, because it's a bad thing, therefore, there will be a bad outcome. It's not necessary. You know, the last confirmation service was probably the most unique one. Why I say that? Because for every confirmation service, all right, for those who watch online or you know about confirmation service where our bishops will come, for every confirmation service, all right, when bishops come, he will have his priest to assist him. Right, there's always a priest to help him. But at the last confirmation, our poor bishop, he was on his own. So he has to do most of the thing on his own. Why? Because, first of all, senior pastor was in another church preaching, and I was tasked to take over his role, all right, for that service. And who knows, just 2 days before the confirmation service, I cannot COVID. Who knows, right? I didn't plan for that. And so, Zun, right? I mean, then, so I also pray, you know, why at this time, right? Why not after? Why must be 2 days before the confirmation service? But thank God, I was watching online. I briefed the staff what to do. And thank God, we have a very, very good team, very, very strong team, pastoral team. Even though it was unexpected to many of us, but many of them carried you know, the task very, very well. And I even saw our vicar's warden, all right, that day as well, sitting beside our bishop. And I thought that our staff pastoral team did a very, very good job for that service. All right, why don't we give our pastoral team a round of applause, all right? They did a very, very good job, you know, and I praise God for them, all right? So, in other words to say, actually right now, I'm the safest person right here. Okay. So any one of you, you're free, Christmas, you need to meet someone for makan, I'm the man, okay? Yeah, I'm the man, all right? You can always come to me, yeah? Let's go for coffee, the safest man right now. Now, of course, for me on my side, I felt bad. I felt a little bit disappointed. So I called senior pastor and I said, oh, you know, I'm so sorry that I didn't expect this to happen. And then he said to me, God has a purpose. I love that, right? He didn't say, why like that? He said, God must have a purpose. And I believe what he said. I said, God must have a purpose. And when I come and think of it, God indeed has a purpose. His timing is perfect. Why I say his timing is perfect? Because that week, all right, that week, I'm supposed to lead the provincial. There's a provincial prayer meeting. And I was tasked to chair and lead the prayer meeting with other bishops from other province or diocese. And that project actually was planned many months, all right, ago before, before the meeting. So there was already a few rounds of planning and meeting, and I was supposed to take the lead in that prayer. So imagine that I got the COVID one day later. I tell you, I won't be able to lead at all because the sore throat was so bad that I couldn't talk properly. And so if it happened one day later, I don't think I will be able to lead that prayer meeting. And it's so difficult at the last minute to find someone to lead because this has been planned for months. So God's timing is perfect. And God has a purpose. And I thank God for that. That didn't happen one day later, but happened at the right time so that I can recover on time and to lead that prayer. So God indeed has a purpose. So if you're going through an unexpected event today, focus on God's plan. Focus on God's plan and not your problem. It's easy for us to stuck in the problem and keep looking at the problems. But I encourage you, focus on God's plan. You know, the Bible says, in all circumstances, give thanks to God. And this is how you begin, by giving thanks to God, by believing that God wants to lead me. And then you, by saying, in your heart, there is a purpose. And this will help you to keep your eyes focused on the Lord and His purpose rather than on your problems. And when you begin to fix your eyes on God's purpose, trust me, you will see His blessing in every situation. And thirdly, don't make God your Google search. All right, don't make God your Google search. Recently, there's a Korean drama titled Search WWW. So if you're a drama follower, you probably watch this movie. It's about something like, you know, Google and Yahoo fighting, the kind of show. And sometimes we treat God like, you know, like a Google search. Sometimes this is how we relate to God, like He's our Google search, you know. And we you know, like when we go to Him, we want the answer immediately, like going search, we type, and then immediately we want the answer to appear to us. And when we cannot get the answer, what do? We start to search another place. So some Christian ask me, Pastor, is it okay to pursue to be a top salesman as a property agent, as an insurance agent? And some of us ask me, you know, Pastor, is it okay to pursue a promotion? You know, I work hard and to pursue that promotion. And some of the students ask me, you know, Pastor, is it okay that I desire to be the top student in school? You know, is it okay that I aim for 6A for my O-levels result? Some of us, as a sportsman, might ask me, Pastor, is it okay to win game? Is it okay for me to be competitive? And I told them, by all means, go and pursue them if this is the desire from the Lord. If this is your desire, by all means, pursue them. I even tell them, ask God to enable you. Ask God, pray, and ask God to enable you to achieve them. But I will also ask them to ask one more question. I will ask them, also ask God to search my purpose. Ask God to search my motives. Because God desires relationship than what He can do for us. God wants to do for us, but He desires our relationship with Him. So I told them, it's good, but also pray, ask God to search your motive and purpose. Because when you start to do that, you are beginning in your dialogue with God. You're no longer just ask God to give you something. When you say, God, would you search my heart? Would you help me to see what is your purpose? When you ask questions like that, you realize that you begin to develop your dialogue with God. And that dialogue will improve your relationship with God. That dialogue will build your relationship with God. You know, many Christians miss the plan of God because many times they are more interested, you know, searching for their own answer rather than the desire of God. God wants us to know His plan, but always remember, God also desires our relationship with Him. God wants to tell you how to solve the problem, but also remember, God desires to walk with you, to help you, and to overcome together with you, because He desires relationship with you. So if you really want to know God's plan in your situation today, seek Him sincerely. Seek Him sincerely. Search Him sincerely, and you will find Him. Now, if God delays your answer, if God delays His response, it's not because He doesn't love you. It is because He's making the opportunity to build that relationship with you. It is always the desire of God that He wants to have an intimate relationship with you. And that is always the plan and the will of God. And finally, do not fear. Don't fear. You know, someone asked me, "Oh, Pastor, what if I miss God's voice?" You know, sometimes we pray for something and then we have a dream and then we wake up, "Alamak, what's the dream, huh?" You know, but you know that, you sense that dream has something to do with your prayer. But then when you wake up, you forgot about the dream. Or maybe you attend a service and during the service, you know, the pastor said something and it's something related to your prayer. That's something related to what I've been praying. But then somehow it slipped off your mind, so you begin to kanchiong, all right? Or maybe I miss what God wants to tell me. And you know, like Samuel, right? Samuel, God called, had to call Samuel 3 times before Samuel recognized that it was God's calling him. And with the help of his mentor, Eli. And so sometimes we are in that situation. I want to say to you, don't worry. Don't worry. If you feel that you have missed something God said and you miss it, don't worry. And I tell you why don't worry, all right? God will keep repeating until you got it. If God really wants you to know, even you miss it today, He will continue to repeat it until you got it. He will keep saying to you. You know, it's just like for some of us guys, right? When you want to buy a car and you have a certain model in your mind, a particular model in your mind. And what happened when you're on the road? You started to realize that particular model car will keep appearing on your road one, you know. Somehow, maybe there's a sign. I know God's telling me I have to buy a new car, yeah? So likewise, my friends, you know, if you think you have missed it, do not fear. God will keep repeating to you. You know, sometimes through signs, sometimes through the scriptures, sometimes through sermons, sometimes through friends, sometimes even through advertisement that you see on the bus. You know, God will find every opportunity to tell you what He wants you to know. Even if you make a wrong turn today, even you make a wrong decision today, trust me, and trust God. He knows how to keep your path straight again. So do not be afraid. All you need to do today is to make yourself available for Him. That's all you need to do, is to make yourself available to Him. If today you cannot make it, as long as you make yourself available to Him, it's just a matter of time, you will get it. You know, because God wants you to know. He's interested in your life. So when you avail yourself and seek Him sincerely, it is not hard to see God guiding you in your daily life. Because the Bible said to us, God is always at work in your life. Isn't that amazing? You know, sometimes we think God is not working, you know. Sometimes we think that, you know, God maybe not so interested. You know, Jesus said, no. God is always working at your life, even harder than you. That God every day is looking at you, what to tell you, what to help you, how to groom you. God is working at your life every day. And all we need this morning is to make ourselves available for Him. Even at your darkest hour, God is there with you. How many of us have ever asked this question? Did God make a mistake? Have you ever asked this question before? Did God make a mistake when an unexpected things happen to you, the event? Is that a mistake from God? You know, Mary gave birth to Jesus. She wrapped Him in swaddling clothes and laid Him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. So, from the Joseph's point of view, my wife, she's carrying the Son of God. The baby in my wife's womb, he is the Son of God. And so, he will expect, at least God will give my son a better room. But the scriptures tell us, there is no place for Jesus in the inn. Not even a guest room for them. Because the house was full and crowded. Now, even if there's no room, Joseph might be thinking, that son, that boy is going to be the Son of God. At least the first bed for Jesus has to be something special. You know, not an old cloth with, you know, not an old cloth, but at least a proper cloth or proper clothes for my son. Not a poor and dirty manger, but at least, you know, not a golden cradle, but at least a bed that's comfortable enough for my son because he is the Son of God. And God could have easily arranged all this for Jesus. So imagine Joseph at that point, did God make a mistake? If that boy is a son of God, did God make a mistake? And all his requests is not something God cannot do. So did God make a mistake? The manger is not a mistake. God did not make a mistake. The manger, the situation is not a mistake. The manger is part of God's plan. The manger is to give us a message to make it easy and accessible for all people to visit the King. And this would not be possible if Jesus was born in the palace because the palace gate and the guard will prevent the common people, the poor, the shepherd, from seeing Jesus. And God wants us to know that His Son is humble and gentle. And He came not for some people, but for all people. So it was not a mistake. The manger is a sign. God cares about you, God cares about us, and God cares about His people. A manger is a box designed to hold food for animals. And the farmers will always make sure their mangers have food so that the animals would never go hungry. The manger is a way of God saying to us that He cares for us, that He is our provider. So if you trust God, then trust also His provision. For God doesn't withhold any good thing to those who seek Him because He cares about you. How do we know? The manger. The manger is a way God is saying to us today, I am your provider. I care about you. And the manger is a message of hope. You know, God could have chosen a golden cradle, a nicer bed, but he chose an wooden manger, something people would not care or even notice, something people would not even expect. But no one would expect that old dirty manger would one day become the bed for Jesus. No one would expect that such a thing can become the bed to hold Jesus. You know, today, if you feel the world is seeing you useless like a manger, I want us to know that is not how God sees us. God sees you as His precious, and He wants to use you. You know, sometimes we feel that we are inadequate. Sometimes we feel that we're insignificant. Sometimes we feel that because of our past, because of what we have done against God, we feel that we are not worthy enough to be used by God. Then this is a message of hope for you. That in the eyes of God, you are precious. In the eyes of God, He has not given up on you. In the eyes of God, all the past you have committed, God is able to forgive your sins and God is able to use you. So don't ever feel that you're not important. Don't ever feel that you are useless. Don't ever feel that God doesn't want to use you. The manger is a message of hope for you this morning. That in the eyes of God, there's nothing too small or too insignificant for God to use you today. But the most unexpected things, the most unexpected outcome of this boy who wrapped in sweating clothes and lay in the manger, the most unexpected outcome is that he is going to be our King of Kings, the Savior of the world, who wash away our sins and give us eternal life. Amen. That is the most unexpected. But yet this boy turned out to be the one who saved the world. The first Christmas is unlike the picture we see on the screen, where it's calm, peaceful, holy night, silent night, stable. The first Christmas, where Joseph was in, Mary was in, Jesus was in, it was a harsh circumstances. There were violence, there was stress, there were fear, there were anxiety. Imagine one order from the king, and many boys were killed because of one order. How violent it is. But Joseph remained faithful to the Lord, because the Lord was with him, the Lord leads him. So it was under such circumstances God sent His Son, Jesus, into our world. It was under such circumstances that Jesus came to tell us the good news, came to tell us that He is with us, came to tell the poor, came to tell the sick, came to tell those who are struggling today, came to tell those who are struggling with addiction, drugs, came to those who are broken today, came to tell those who are suffering today, to tell you there is salvation in Jesus Christ. He came for you to tell us His name is Emmanuel, means God with us, and He will lead us just like how He leads Joseph. I do not know how your life has been. I do not know. Some of us, we thank God, your life has been doing well. Praise God. But maybe some of us, you're going through like what Joseph is going through. You're facing some unexpected event in your life. Remember, the Christmas is for you. That God is with us. Not just that He's with us, He will lead you. Make yourself available to Him, and God will show you the way out. It is for this reason that I encourage us that even when we are in the difficult circumstances, we can still celebrate Christmas. It is for this reason that I encourage us to make this Christmas meaningful, purposeful, joyful for the Lord, because this Christmas is a Christmas that God is reminding us that He is with us and He will lead us. I want to end with a story that happened in the 1943. It was a Christmas season in, some 21st November, during the Second World War. A very famous German pastor, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was in prison, and without knowing when he or he might be released from prison and to see his family again. Despite his imprisonment, with little hope of seeing his family, in the small little shell, he believed there is a good reason to celebrate Christmas. So he didn't wait for his release before he thinks about Christmas. He didn't wait saying that, when I'm out of the prison, I will start to celebrate Christmas. He didn't. He was in the prison. He decided to talk about celebrating Christmas. And so he decided to write a reflections alone in the cell about Christmas. And he said, while I'm not now an active Christian, I would like to offer a brief reflections on those words. So he did not allow circumstances to dictate how I should celebrate Christmas. He made a choice. In spite of his circumstances, I am going to celebrate the goodness of God. And in one of the chapters of that reflection, he wrote, a prison cell in which one waits and hopes is completely dependent on the fact that the door of freedom has to be opened from the inside. It's not a bad picture. I find this is very, very interesting for someone who is in the prison, who's able to write such a thing that's so positive. There's such a thing that is so edifying. And I'm sure he's able to do that because his focus is not on the circumstances. His focus is on the goodness of God. His focus is on Jesus. His focus is on the love of God. And when he keeps his eyes on the love of God, even in the darkest hour, he sees hope and a reason to celebrate Christmas. So my friends, we have gone through a lot. And it's so easy that receiving so much news about COVID, what's happening in the world, and it's so easy for us to have the sense, all right, it's just another Christmas. But I want to say to you, let not the earthly circumstances to dictate us whether we have good reason to celebrate Christmas. We celebrate because we have His promise. We celebrate because we know God is with us. And there are three things I would like you to do, encourage you to do during this Christmas. And these are three things that I believe that you can make your Christmas meaningfully, all right, for one another and for the Lord. And first of all is celebrate this Christmas with your families. Take this opportunity. Spend time with your family. Take this opportunity. Gather your family, feast together, give thanks to God, encourage one another. This one of the good things about COVID has done for us is that God is forcing the family to have more time together. If you are not aware of that, the COVID has forced more family to spend more time together. Of course, as a result of that, we see more tension. Because in the past, we don't really spend a lot of time together. But now we are forced to spend more time together. We see a lot of tension. But do not be afraid. Because I'm seeing also, first it's come with a lot of tension. But now I'm seeing a lot of reconciliation, a lot of restoration amongst family. Family becomes stronger than before. And I really believe that this is what God is doing for us. Seize this opportunity to spend time with your family during Christmas. Is it okay? Yeah? Spend time with your family, all right? And if you're single, you have no one to celebrate, you really got no one to celebrate. And then I say to you, all right, my home is available. I'm the safest person right now, all right? My home is available for you. I'm serious, okay? I got people approach me already. You know, Pastor, can I go to your house and celebrate Christmas? I said, by all means, please come. All right? But first come, first serve. All right? Yeah? My house is not that big, you know? Yeah? But I'm serious, all right? If this Christmas, you need to go to someone, if no one to turn to, my house is open to you. Come to my place, all right? I warmly welcome you. Let's celebrate Christmas together. So, first, spend time, celebrate Christmas with your loved one. Secondly, don't leave your manger empty. The purpose of the manger is for you to meet the needs of others. Don't leave your manger empty. Maybe I said to you right now, maybe you know, look for someone. Even right now, think of one or two person or three people, you know, in your mind that you want to bless during this Christmas. Who are the people and friends you know that need to hear the message of Christ? Who needs your manger today? Would you be the one sent by God to bless them, to share with them your love and hope with them? I also encourage you maybe to invite them to our Christmas service, to hear the good news and be blessed by our pastor message. What could be a better blessing for them to hear the message of God for them? And finally, you know, despite of whatever circumstances we are going through, we don't need to wait till 25th of December to celebrate Christmas. Do you know that? Today, right now, we can celebrate Christmas. We can celebrate Christmas today by declaring the goodness of God. I love the songs today. Keep reminding us about the goodness of God. We can start celebrate Christmas today by declaring how good our God is. Singing the Lord is great. Hallelujah. Lord, right now, here today, we are going to praise you and give you the glory. And always remember, and don't forget, if there's a reason to celebrate Christmas, it's a better reason to celebrate Christmas than the world, it should be from us. It should be from the church. Because we believe Christ is alive. We believe He ascended and is seated on the right hand of God today, and He's praying for us with power and authority. His Spirit is with us now, and one day He's coming again, and He will take His people together with Him forever. So we have a better reason to celebrate Christmas today. We don't have to wait till 25th of December then celebrate Christmas. Today, right now, right here, we're going to celebrate the goodness of God. Amen. May I invite us to stand right now? All right? As the team come in, you know, we're going to have a response songs. We're going to declare the goodness of God. Amen. Amen with me? Yeah? Can you say amen with me? Amen. Amen. Let's declare the goodness of God. Let's sing out loud in our heart, our God is great, our God is good. Don't let the circumstances to dictate how we should celebrate the Christmas. We make a stand. Today, we declare whatever circumstances we are in, we're going to declare the goodness of God today. Amen? Amen. Let's give our Lord a clap offering, all right?
Let's sing, Who Has Stretched Out the Skies?
Stretched out the skies like a canvas. Who has scooped up the oceans with His hands? Who has measured the hills from the mountains? You beauty for ashes. Who has broken the chains of the captives? Who has rescued our lives with compassion? You have.
So many news, you know, declaring how great the Omicron COVID newspaper. I seldom, not many people declare how great our God is. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah, we know that this is a big issue, but that lets us declare that our God is even greater. Is that all right? And this Christmas, we're going to do that, you know, because the world needs to hear. Yeah, the virus is great, but our God is greater. We're going to declare the goodness of God. And as we declare the goodness of God, we're going to see breakthrough. We're going to see breakthrough. Virus will still be there, but life will be changed, right? life will be changed, you'll be empowered by God. Is it okay? Yeah? All right, let me pray for us before we go. Yeah? Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we have heard so much news, you know, declaring how great, you know, the virus that's going on, putting so much fear, worry, anxiety to many people. But Lord, today your message to us, Lord, it is true, but you are saying to us, but you are greater. And Lord, you want us to declare today, this morning, that Lord, you are greater. So we pray, Father, Holy Spirit, would you help us that during this Christmas season, Lord, would you, through us, bring this message to the world, to our friends, to our loved ones, to one another. Lord, would you empower us with your Holy Spirit that we will not allow circumstances to dictate how we celebrate your goodness. But we will, Lord, declare the goodness of God in spite of any circumstances, because you are good. You are with us and you will lead us. So we give you all the glory, God. You are wonderful, you are great, and we praise you. We praise you, O Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So God bless you, and I'll see you all next week. Yeah.